Welcome back to the Talos and Tech podcast. Is this the opening?
Sorry, I was feeling a little ornery.
We should just leave it?
Yeah.
No.
I'll do it. Okay, here we go, officially. Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today we are joined once again by our OG crew, Nick and Randy, starting with Nick. How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Randy?
I am going to leave that first part in the edit, so...
Oh, great.
Awkward. And also, by the way, hey, Nick, how's that mic coming along?
Hey,
do you know how many tweets I got this week? Please.
I got them, too.
I want you to explain what happened. Because why are they reaching out to me like it was my fault?
Yeah, there's a missing episode out there, yes, for those curious.
It is the first episode of the Talos of Tech podcast, Lost Episodes.
If you subscribe to us on Patreon, though, then you'll be able to...
No. No,
Patreon. Wait, that was a joke. Sorry. I was joking. It's Muckless.
Oh, my goodness. So
I'm joking.
All kinds of subscriptions.
Lots of subscriptions. We want you to give us
the Talos of membership.
Money.
The Talos of membership. Please. App one. You subscribe to that thing. You'll get the lost episode of me and Drew talking normal and Nick
sounding like he's.
I don't know what he like. I still got the files.
Jelly Belly has belly flops. We'll have Talos of flops.
Yeah.
Just uncompleted projects get dumped.
Perfect.
Over there.
No problem at all. So yeah, this is what happened. So sorry to everyone who, you know, we got tweets and all that sudden stuff. Very sorry about that. We recorded a normal episode, like normal, for the past, 4 months? I don't know, however long. I haven't had a Mac. I've been recording my audio directly into voice memos on the iPad via a USB-A to USB-C adapter to my iPad Pro. Worked perfectly fine all of the other times, but...
It worked perfectly fine when it worked.
Funny how that works.
I know, right? Anyway, the audio got screwed up, and I sounded like Darth Vader.
And it wasn't even May 4th.
No, it wasn't.
You guys said that like it was a downside. I was genuinely interested.
Oh, this is Nick. I would like to tell you all about the new iPad, bro.
Nick sounded like he was 7'5".
If we could have James Earl Jones. Yeah, he is nowhere near that short. If we had James Earl Jones on the tech podcast, I would totally enjoy that.
You are my soap.
James Earl Jones, hit us up. Marques Brownlee, hit us up.
I think we cover our bases.
Yep.
Anyway, that's the explanation.
Thank you very much for joining us this week. See y'all next week. Have a good
one. Well, I got a pair of headphones made not necessarily by Apple, but from Apple.
For Apple.
I suppose you could say. For Apple. That's a better way to say it. Yeah.
So you got the Pixel Buds?
I got the H1 chip equipped. No, I have a brain. I got the PowerBeats Pro. And with the H1 chip, with the pairing, they have their own special icon when they're charging and everything. And my first question I have to ask is I'm FaceTiming you guys on my iPad Pro, and it's using the microphone from the PowerBeats. So how do I sound compared to... what I normally talk to you guys with my AirPods? Do you notice anything different, or did it sound exactly the same? Because this has been a very common question I get about the PowerBeats, is the microphone quality.
Well, I thought it was just your morning voice, but...
I was going to say this would be an interesting... I would maybe give you a more full, honest review if I did this on the iPad normally, but I'm talking to you on the Mac. I haven't done this in months either, but all things considering, you sound great. It sounds normal. Sounds just like...
Notice any difference from talking with AirPods.
Until you told me, I thought I was hearing the input from your actual mic right there.
Okay, see, that was what I was hoping to fool you with.
Yeah.
I was hoping it... See, if it was noticeably worse, I feel like that would have been a bad thing.
No.
If it was like a, oh, wow, what are you talking to us with? Like, this sounds so weird.
Are you talking to me on your iPad right now or your phone?
Right. Some kind of...
No, I'm asking
your iPad.
That was a question.
Genuine question, iPad.
iPad. So I would have said
devices every week.
The built-in mic on the iPad, or you're using the mic that you're recording your audio with. I could not tell.
No, this does... The mic I record my audio with doesn't plug into the iPad. Or it does, and I just don't want to do voice memos. So
don't do it.
That's smart. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I don't know what happened.
How come when recording with voice memos, the podcast would always get cut in half.
I don't know. That was also another thing that wasn't happening in the first few months. And then for some reason, voice memos, I think it would had to do with my 64 gigabytes of iPad storage or something.
So but I have a small question here.
Yes.
No, a little no unrelated. Just only big just a brief question. I was just a little curious. Were you running a beta?
Oh my gosh! You guys!
That is a real question. That is a real question.
Just a side note.
Yes, it's a yes or no. Not. No, okay. I was not running.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I'm ready to get back in the beta soon.
Me too. I so funny you should mention that.
Don't do it, Nick.
Be a great transition. Mm-hmm. I went to charge my watch a couple days ago.
Which
and
one?
It was end of the day. My Series 4, 44, okay. 44 millimeter.
Which very series end of the day,
the 4 Series 4, the 44 Series 4.
For those who don't know,
gold.
Nick, his great grandfather was also named Nick, so he is Nick the Fourth, who wears 4 Series 4, 44 millimeter Apple watches, and
just all over my forearm, just Apple watch. I got to get that EKG, folks.
And then when he plays golf,
right.
Yes.
Perfect. So you were charging your watch, yes?
Yeah, so I went to charge at the end of the night. It was like, you know, midnight or something. Mm-hmm. It was a long day. I put it on the charger, and the little icon came up, and it was at 74%.
Wow.
And that's when I was like, I need another to four. Enjoy this while it lasts. Come June 1st, it's going to be, or June 3rd, it's going to be back to charging it twice a day.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a 44% battery.
I was hoping.
Ooh,
you should have 44. Just embellished the story a little bit. If you're ever going to make a YouTube video, learn to embellish just a little bit.
The important thing to know as a YouTuber, nothing is real.
That's it.
What I was going to ask you guys, Apple released iOS 12.
Yes, sir. Three.
Something recently.
Spit it out, Jonathan.
Which I updated to. I remember these numbers, and they updated the TV app to support the channels feature. Have you guys messed around with that yet?
I have not. I just literally, before we got on to do this, when I was downstairs doing dishes, I was watching, I'm catching up on my videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
I just watched the Renee video talking about it. So I was like, oh, that's cool. So I got my TV right here in the back. I was like, I'm going to go upstairs and start fiddling around. And then Nick says, okay, I'm ready to record. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was told.
It's interesting.
I was told not to run betas, so I'm not using it.
That's not a beta.
It's not a beta.
It is still a beta, though.
12.3 is not a beta. 12.3
is public.
It's only not a beta when Randy says it's not a beta. Otherwise, I'm going to get
I just said it's not a beta.
Why do you think I'm still running iOS 3?
He just said it's not beta.
I literally just said it's not a beta. It's only not a beta when Randy says it's not.
Gosh. Okay.
I'm just amazed.
Now it's not a beta. Officially, everyone. It's now not a beta.
Do you have Wi-Fi where you are?
I do not.
Maybe that's why it didn't pop up.
Do they have Wi-Fi?
Because it should be a little notification.
Asylum and Sweeney?
No, they don't want our ideas getting out. It's Creed in his blog, folks. www.creedthoughts.gov/.
Because the way Drew said, he goes, hey, do they have Wi-Fi where you're at? Like, yeah. Yeah, do they have Wi-Fi in the insane asylum, Aunt Sweeney?
Oftentimes, Nick was always doing LTE stuff, so I thought maybe the reason he didn't get
LTE.
The pop-up. Yeah,
but
because
I have two LTE
you should
devices,
have gotten the notification.
And I hate Verizon.
I hate all phone companies. By the way, have you guys seen all of
except
the 5G tests?
Yes. Evidently, we're not going to have weather anymore. The Weather Channel is going to become even more inaccurate. It's going to be great.
What does that have to do with the 5G?
I don't know.
The Earth is flat. Didn't you see the video?
No.
No.
There was a news.
Tell me the correlation. I'm
please, because you're really selling the insane asylum thing right now.
Okay, so
the real reason why
CNET.
We didn't put out an episode last week is because Nick was institutionalized.
Did you? So did you jump from 5G causes cancer and then you skipped over that and then just went straight to the we're not going to have weather?
So, like, according to CNET. Oh.
Let me stop you right there, buddy.
Right. I could tell Brian Tong did not write this article.
No, Brian Tong did not. Brian Tong is no longer with you. Okay. So the headline is 5G networks could wreak havoc on weather forecasting, officials warn.
Okay. A connection has been made.
Oh.
Yes. That is the connection. I'm not going insane, okay, God.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm still trying to get out of my straitjacket, but one of these days.
I'm still trying to figure out why they think 5G is exciting.
I still don't understand why we need 5G, honestly.
Because
what if you told someone we're gonna give 10 people 5G phones with 5G connection under one condition though. None of them can install or run speed tests. None of you can use Ookla speed test. None of you can run an internet speed test. And we're going to give like 3 people LTE and we're going to give 7 people 5G. Mm-hmm. And you're going to come back and tell us which one. Did you
That'll get be 5G really connections easy to or did you not? That'll be really easy to figure out. All you have to do is give them cancer screenings.
That's always easy.
Yeah. That is always easy. So 5G is allegedly supposed to be the G that kills your internet, like Cox or
yeah, it sure
Spectrum.
Will. It will kill my internet.
Yeah. I get it. It's I get it. But I think if you can, at the mobile carriers, you okay?
So,
cool.
I haven't had a Wi-Fi network in years. I 5-6 years I haven't.
How
had
are we doing this then,
station.
Nick?
Nick, you're breaking
LTE.
Up.
LTE.
I can't hear you.
Nick, are you going through a tunnel?
Nope, I'm still in the asylum. They're just turning.
What were you saying?
The cell blocker. Go ahead.
So, what are you saying, Randy?
It is of my opinion and one that I actually don't agree with.
Okay.
Coming from the minimalist, that you could just use LTE for everything. I'm sorry, not LTE. Sorry, 5G. 5G for everything.
Replace Wi-Fi.
It replaces everything, and it's just your one-stop shop. And I think I saw like an article, or maybe it was a video. T-Mobile when they were like really pushing it, and why they're trying to hurry up with the acquisition of Sprint is because they have already announced it. They have every intention of rolling out their own internet to be all of the same, just 5G. So you it stays under your account, and the 5G goes to your phone, your tablet, to the house, because they will give you those. I guess, however, those boxes are supposed to work. I don't know the specifics of it because I actually don't agree with it, but it is to my understanding that what they want this to do, since it's supposed to be so powerful in lifetime render XYZ, get rid of the cable companies and just they're competing with each other at that point in a way. Get rid of that with their 5G networks. They can it just be all in one, just one payment. The thing that I don't like about it though is it kills competition still the same way. Only some places support like gigabit download speeds and stuff like that. If they moved over to cellular and you start using 5G, you're only dealing with technically 3 Sprint, or not Sprint, but T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T. It's going to kill competition even harder, I see it. So I don't agree with it on a consumer level based off of like competition's healthy. I don't want there to be just 3, but that's their narrative that they're pushing. I'm indifferent about 5G. I don't care. If it's supposed to make connectivity stronger in more rural areas, I'm in San Diego. It doesn't bother me. You know, I don't care. So for a personal selfish reason, indifferent. I'm fine with where I'm at. But I can understand people in the Midwest or, you know, Wyoming, whatever, you know, like weird. Sorry, guys, anybody who's listening from Wyoming. I'm just making a joke. I'm just making a point. That you
we
know,
love you. We love you.
Yeah, they don't have connectivity out there the same way. I figured, you know, they just keep putting out more towers regardless. It doesn't have to be 5G. Eventually, it covers everything, but yeah.
I personally, out here, there is no ISP competition anyway. So it's all one company. There's no other companies we can go to for internet. There's maybe AT&T, but basically everything's Xfinity out here. And I know that's a lot of the country. Probably a lot of NorCal is like that. There's like no competition in regards to internet. I don't know how far away the 5G implementation to Wi-Fi replacement is, because the problem fundamentally with 5G technology is that the antennas are so low coverage. Like you need several antennas within a city block just to cover a couple blocks. So the idea that you're going to get 5G out way into these rural cities like the ones I live in that are not part of major cities and more low population means it's going to take even longer to implement than LTE did. Because LTE, you could put up one tower and you could cover like almost a square mile basically from one cell tower. Whereas now you have to go to every single block to get a 5G connection. So a couple things people should remember. When LTE was first being rolled out, 4G, they were advertising 300 download speeds. They were like, you're going to get 300 down, 300 up. That's not what it is today.
No.
It, once everyone moved on to it, and once there's, you know, thousands of devices using each tower, that means it's going to get slower for everyone. And that's how you can get such mediocre LTE speeds, even if you have pretty good signal. Which I still think even the mediocre speeds cover the basics.
Yeah.
They cover what you need. But my main holdup with LTE is either like carriers throttling you or the coverage not being very good. And knowing that 5G is an even further problem with coverage, it's like, oh God, like this is going to be a super helpful thing for Chicago in New York and LA, and everyone else is just going to be like, I do not care. You know, it's such a terrible selling point, especially given they started selling the S10 5G. It's like a $1,300 phone, I think.
Yeah.
And it explodes.
Yeah, hopefully not.
And but it gives you cancer. Simple.
It's like Bane in Dark Knight Rises. I was wondering what would break first.
Oh, yes.
No idea what you're talking about.
Your cancer or your battery.
My permission to die.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Nick?
He doesn't know what we're talking about.
Y'all can search YouTube, but there are quite a few interesting videos about 5G and the problems thereof. And I think they can be easily summarized by, no, it doesn't cause cancer. And... basically,
the cancer's the least of my concerns, which is not often said. Think of how often that sentence is uttered.
I keep a banana in my pocket all day, every single day, and that's giving me more cancer than 5G ever will.
Really? A banana? That's what I've been seeing in your pocket?
He's leading into the asylum idea. He keeps going back to that. But yeah, I think once 5G is everywhere, because it will one day. It's just going to take such a long time. Once, like, even places where I live have 5G, the speeds will not be gigabit. No question.
Oh, you'll be long dead before you get 5G up there.
We'll be getting 6G in Chicago by the time 5G is available here. Kind of like, I saw a video, I think Austin Evans was talking about 8K is here, and like 8K TVs are ready, and the highest comment was 8K TVs are coming out. Great, that means I'll get 4K. You know, like within the next few months. It's just the tech world lives in such a different reality that the rest of the world does. That 5G. I imagine when it officially rolls out and it's everywhere. I know it has rolled out technically, but like when it's when it's accessible to everyone, the speeds are likely going to be like 500, 400, not 1,000. It's 1,000 when there's 3 people with 5G phones, you know? Like, no one has a 5G connection right now. Once everyone does, that's when it's, like, going to die down. Speeds go way lower. Yeah. Overage rates go up. Down throttling becomes more common. And I genuinely don't think, if we're talking 5G on a phone, you're going to notice a difference without running a speed test, because what you use on a phone LTE can do. So yeah, I was just sick of all the people.
It's not
going to
refresh my tweets or Instagram any quicker.
No. For a phone, we just need better coverage.
See, the truth. Yeah, that's it. That's really what it is. All you need is just better coverage out there, because walk away just from that sentiment you just said about like from tech is so detached from everything else. Most people, 95% of the people, it may be even more, the people who aren't us, don't need all that to get their emails, to go on Amazon, to Google search something.
Emails. What's an email?
Exactly. To do social media, all the standard stuff. Especially for like if you're doing audio podcasts like this or Audible. It downloads on like 3G just fine. There's no lag or delay for audio stuff like that. Video is a little bit more, you know, intensive, obviously. But when it comes to what people are just doing mobile, if you're not playing your games and this, that, and the other, I don't have an issue when I drop from LTE to 4G. I don't notice it. I see it happen sometimes. Doesn't affect what I'm doing when I'm in commute because I got podcasts playing in the background. It's like, didn't change anything. Everything's fine. Right. So we don't need it. But I mean, it's then the next big thing they're going to say is they're future proofing it. It's like, oh yeah, before when AR comes out and then the wearable market and then this and then that. But like you said, is once what you're rating 5G's capabilities to do will get throttled once everybody starts connecting to those towers. It just that's just how that works.
Just
so,
like LTE. Yeah.
If everybody wants to get on 5G, fine. Keep me on LTE so I can have an opener. You know,
maybe LTE
unlimited
will speed up.
Yeah.
I'll keep you on LTE and it'll go quicker. I'm fine with that. You guys go
maybe
have
I'll
fun
be a
with
set,
your
a setting. You can toggle like 5G connection off. Don't give me that.
I keep it off too just to save the battery.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is your phone's only going to take the connection it requires.
Yeah.
And the only time it's requiring that 5G connection is as soon as you hit that start in the Ookla app for the speed test. After that, what situations is it in where the phone starts and you're like, I need 1,000 down right now to refresh this guy's Twitter feed? You know, it's not going to happen. So, yeah, they'll almost just leave it off to preserve the battery unless they're going to have these 5G phones that are like screaming in the background, gigabit at all times, like always get a gigabit. And then the battery's just going to go way down faster with the benefit of nothing. Like you can
watch
1080 at 60.
That's why Energizer has the Energizer phone, which is literally
a
battery. That's the first 5G phone right there.
And it still has a camera bump. That's the confusing thing about it. It's like, come on, you couldn't just embed that? I don't get it. But anyway, I think it's one of the most overraised. Like 5G has become the new machine learning. You know, like when phones were coming out and they were like, it uses AI to take pictures. It uses machine learning on a phone. It's like, what are those other features? Like Bixby Vision.
Yeah,
you know, you can open the camera and Bixby will analyze it, and you can look at a shoe and then it'll show you where you can buy the shoe. It's like, yeah, no one's using that. just like 5G, it's just become this hype word.
This is the most overrated thing since the OnePlus 7 Pro.
Sick. No. What'd you guys think of the 7 Pro?
I like
catch any of that?
I really like it. I really do.
No. No.
What do you not like about it, Nick? You 6T owner.
Okay. I'm not an owner.
Got
the one of
I
us
used
here
that for 22 hours. Okay.
Got him.
You owned it longer than any of us.
Got
You've
him.
Owned a OnePlus product longer than any of us had.
Take that to the bank and cash it.
That makes you a OnePlus expert on this podcast.
Oh, really? Okay. So it sucked. And it will continue to suck. No, I think it's a decent phone. I think it's sad that they're moving up market as far as their price point, because the really attraction to OnePlus was really like they had mediocre phones at best, like you know, cool in screen.
They were average,
whatever. They're average phones, but their price was so cheap that it made an average $700 phone. They made an average $700 phone for $450 or $550, and that was impressive. Mm-hmm. Now they're making a slightly better, but you know, kind of 10R type phone for $750. And you're just like, well, why would I buy a 10R clone if I could buy a 10R or buy a Pixel 3A?
Because it's smooth. The 90.
Well,
oh my gosh, shut up.
I say people who are looking at the 10R are definitely not the same people looking at the 7 Pro.
No,
because it's
definitely
not. It's no 10R clone.
Well, the
I doubt
features
that.
Are. I mean, it's kind of like they're targeted the same demographic. Like, sure, there's the Apple sheep side, you know. People who buy 10Rs typically are the Apple sheep or the Apple loyal people who don't think of other products before they buy an iPhone, and they got sticker shock with, you know, the $1,000 XS and they went with the XR. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the most of the demographic for the XR. Forgive me if that's not correct. Mm-hmm. But the OnePlus is kind of going for that, the same specs, like they're comparable specs, like, you know, premium quality, you know, OLED, whatever. But it's just the price.
I think you just proved the point that it's two different things because they're
okay. Fine, Randy, you talk well, now. I mean, that's why I don't talk.
The specs are very different, though.
The specs are very different.
Like between, I don't know. To me, it's like they're two completely different takes on a phone. The XR's take is a software-based experience, longevity, and they're working more within the ecosystem. That's why you like the XR, because of Face ID, because of iOS. Because of
the long battery,
Apple services, the long battery. OnePlus's market is, I think, wow factor. That they're going all off of thin bezels, no notch, 90 hertz OLED display, low price, almost $100 cheaper than a XR.
Yeah,
the pop-up camera,
the 20 triple minute camera, charging something with the
warp
battery.
Charge. They love warp charge. They're going for the instant sell, as in, like, you see the spec sheet and you go, dang, 12 gigs of RAM or 256 gigs of storage, that's great. Look at all these specs, look at the design of it, it looks great. That means it must be a better product. Personally, I still believe the XR is a better product, but wow factor wise the OnePlus 7 Pro is gonna win.
That's when you look at the spec sheet of that, it's the better product when you compare it with all the other Android OEMs and stuff like that. That's why I think it's, so you got the Galaxy 5G XYZ thing, but like we just covered it, you know, it's overhyped for what it's not going to do for most people, but the OnePlus 7 Pro, that's the hardware itself that people are going to be able to see the fluidity of just navigating through it. Granted, it's going to kill the battery because it doesn't, you know, prioritize when it should do it and not do it. It's just always on. It's going to drain the battery pretty quickly on that, but you got that, you got the warp charge, you got everything that's like right there, instantaneous. And, it still has the in display, finger reader. So that's another selling point. That's like, ooh, look. And so I think they're pushing this phone much like they acknowledge, like, I think they're very much aware that because the rotation is every 6 months, that this is meant to be. And I'm only talking about the Pro, not the regular OnePlus 7. I think the Pro is being treated the same way we are seeing, or the way, well, yeah, the way we are seeing the Fold, the way we got the iPhone 10, everything that was a first of its original line. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're expecting it to be like, this is the phone everybody has to get and die for. For the fact that it's a first gen of this particular model now, and we get cool specs right off the back for the instant gratification of it, but I think maybe the next iteration or two, they'll start fine-tuning it to make it a little bit more long-term, and it's probably not going to take that long, considering I expect we'll see one in the next 6 months, and they'll do minor enhancements over, they just keep tweaking
the 7T.
The 7T Pro, and then they're going to get weird with the naming schemes and stuff like that. I think when we're talking about the Pro side of it, I think it does what it needs to do for the people who are the OnePlus fanatics and stuff like that. That's the phone they were waiting for. More power to it. I talked about this earlier this week when I saw it on a tweet that the camera, my money will go where the best mobile videographer capabilities are at. And no phone comes closer to any of the iPhones, especially of 2018, and I expect 2019. The XR, XS Plus, or XS Plus, XS Max, XS... I missed the plus name.
I know.
But for me, what will sell me and what keeps me as a on the Apple side is the camera capabilities, and I'm not talking about photography. I'm saying straight.
Yes. Same.
Taking videos. So once OnePlus 7 Pro gets that Google add-on app that fine-tunes all the photos, their photos are going to be great, and that more power to it. But I need the camera to do great video recordings and stuff like that. But for the OnePlus fanatics, this is something they've been waiting for a long time, and I think it's a great phone. Like objectively, I think it's the greatest Android phone for its price and all its capabilities that it brings to it. I think it has a cleaner UI. I think
I'm excited to try it. It gets here on Tuesday.
I just really wish, man, that everyone says it and it's true. How much more would it have cost for wireless charging? That's the crutch for me. And it's funny that everybody else brings it up now too. Everybody who is like, it has wireless, and nobody cared about wireless charging until Apple did it. And now it's like, yeah, you know what? I got to admit, it needs the wireless charging. But you know, they're at least keeping their stance, putting their foot down with that.
They are putting their foot down. They're leaving it out of principle. It's not because wireless charging couldn't make it or it's too expensive or something. It's not. It's very cheap technology, but it's chi technology. But I still think it's a flawed argument because people are just like, well, you don't need wireless charging because it has warp charge. It's like, no, that's not the point. Inductive means you don't want to deal with wires.
Yeah.
And that's an option we've
had
since.
Does it have the headphone jack?
No.
Well, then
they ditched that up. They just said a while ago.
Does, yeah.
Well, no, never more.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Luckily,
you can't get rid of the headphone jack and push wireless and then have a wire.
I agree. That's hypocritical to be like, well, wireless headphones are good enough now, so that's okay.
At least with Apple,
like, okay.
We have the choice to use wires, but
right.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows the ethos.
Well, see, I always got into fights with people on Twitter with that. I was like, because even on an iPhone. From 2017, 2 years ago, you've had the option to charge inductively or wired or fast. All three options are built into the phone. You don't restrict it for no reason just because it's slow.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The idea is with one hand, conveniently, you can charge the phone. The purpose of it being convenient allows it to be slow. We don't mind that it's slow just because it's convenient. Even if you come at that with like, yeah, but it has warp charge, that means more throughout the day being like, well, now time to charge fast again. It's like, I don't like the selling point that, well, for one, we know from Marquez that it doesn't have a great battery life. Its screen on time was not very good, mostly because of the 90 hertz. So that means, well, instead of charging inductively, just wait for the battery to get low and then take a wire, plug it in very quickly, 20 minutes or whatever, and then unplug it again, and then you're good. It's like, you realize how inconvenient that is, opposed to just being able to drop it at my desk or on my nightstand instead of like throughout the day being like, oh, it's low again, time to charge. No, like it's the convenience factor, and they should know that if they remove the headphone jack.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the same argument there. It's like wired sounds better. Wired is easier because you don't have to charge the headphones or
nothing's
the headphone jack.
Better than having a wired connection, period.
Right. Audio quality is always better wired. It's like, okay, that's true. But the majority of users can't tell the difference. That's why they're embracing it. That's also why they removed it on the phone, but not the Mac or the MacBook series. Right. They left it for the pros, but they knew the average consumer, whatever you're doing on your phone, wireless will be good enough for.
Yeah.
And that's why wireless is
blown up
so much.
Your wireless device should not be your main device for if you're making the argument of like, well, I need the best. Well, your argument's flawed from the get-go if you're arguing that your phone is your main computing device for audio engineering. And this is coming from an audio engineer.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Coming from a musician, yes.
Yeah. What people can't see, obviously, because thank God we're not live streaming this, but look at all of this that I have going on right now. I need the wires for what I needed to do, but with my phone, right now, as we speak, it's on my wireless stand, and it's just charging because of the convenience factor. The mobile market is 100% all about convenience, and anybody who says otherwise is going to fail at that market. It's not about how much of the, we want to keep the true integrity of this, that. You're going towards the wrong demographics with that. Those are for
the
people.
Yeah, because the LG DAC audio jack sold so well, didn't it?
Oh, very
I don't
well.
Even know what the
very
hell you're talking about.
LG made a smart.
And
they
don't
put,
even
like,
know who you are. I don't know what you're saying.
High efficiency headphone jack in the LG phones.
Yeah.
And Yeah, those are flopped.
It's all about convenience. 100%.
You don't win being the best performer of quality. You win by being the most easy to use, at least in the smartphone market. Because the whole reason we have smartphones is because they're convenient. We didn't start making smartphones because we thought we could heighten our performance and speed and efficiency by doing everything on our phones. No, we made phones and we made smartphones because we wanted them to be quick and easy rather than like communicating at a desk or communicating on a laptop.
If we did not, with having it just the ease of use of it, mm-hmm. then the BlackBerry would have won.
Mm. Right.
That's
right.
True. That's,
Android would have won Android, years ago.
the hardware, they're like, oh yeah, but you got tactile, clicky keyboard, blah, 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 and because it was meant to be the powerhouse. I remember, working with the government, we like BlackBerry was the lone contract mobile device for the longest time. Now it's Apple. So
yeah,
they, even in the enterprise category, Apple overtook it. You can't have Android because it's too fragmented. BlackBerry was a lockdown OS as well, but it didn't adapt. It didn't win. It doesn't adapt. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not user friendly by any means. And so even iPhone won on the business level for it, for the same reason it wins on the consumer level, or I should say not iPhone. But what I'm saying is ease of use is overall the category is ease of use. And convenience. You need it to just work. Everybody, once people understood, like, oh yeah, it just needs to work. When's the last time one of us opened up a big book and start reading the manual on how to do something? No.
That's what I do. See, before I Google anything, I pull out the owner's manual. Obviously. Yeah.
I think what OnePlus did
going on right now.
I think OnePlus's mentality is all about the instant gratification and very little longevity. If you look at their ideology of how they're smart about, you know, releasing two flagships a year every 6 months, you look at warp charge, how that does affect the battery health of the device. The faster the battery gets charged up again, that will hurt it in the long term. It may not be drastic, but it will show up. Also promising whatever, 2 years of updates, 3 years of security updates. It's like, that's not very good, but okay. Like they sell it like that. For an iPhone, that would be terrible. Like when I suggested the iPhone SE might not get iOS 13, everyone lost their minds. That's 3.5 years of software updates. Like that's very good.
Especially for Android.
Especially for a $400 phone. We're talking about a $670 phone with, if you buy it with the fees and stuff, like OnePlus charges for shipping. Mine ended up costing a little over 700, but yeah, it's everything's brief about the OnePlus phones. Like there's no water resistance or the pop-up camera. The pop-up camera, literally when you use it a lot, there's a little pop-up on the screen that says careful to not activate the front-facing camera more than you need to. It could damage it in the long term. Like I saw that pop-up in Marquez's video that showed like the warning for the pop-up camera. I was like, Apple would never do that. No. That is like the most exact opposite thing. Like to build into the software a pop-up telling you how fragile the hardware is. Mm-hmm. Like that is so not a friendly user experience.
You know, Apple should do that for Jerry Rig Everything's iPad.
Yeah.
Do not bend.
Just leading a little pop-up. That's why they were so hesitant to put in the battery degradation thing. Mm-hmm. To like put in the settings, your battery health, because they're like, they do not want any part of the user experience to have a pop-up that says, hey, by the way, this could damage your product or this is damaging to your product. They were just so against that until the lawsuits got involved and they were like, okay, now we got to put it in there. But that's why some people suggested, like, why don't they include fast chargers and then provide the option. You know, like, do you want a fast charge or do you want a not fast charge? It's like, that's not the kind of prompts Apple wants to throw in front of their customers. Mm. They're not want to be like, okay, so by the way, if you do fast charge, that could damage the battery in the long run. They don't want to admit any kind of scientific flaw like that or fundamental flaw with the device, because that's just openly saying your product's delicate or openly saying your product's not built to last, where OnePlus is just like, can the phone last a year? Okay, we're good.
There you go.
Like, as long as it can get through the 12 months, that's enough.
Because
and then after the 12
months,
that's
two upgrade cycles for them.
Yeah. That's two whole upgrade cycles.
It's going to be a harder pitch for that can it last a year thing when you start moving into the pro market with their 7 Pro, mm-hmm. because now you have to... I can justify every 6 months, if you were spending somewhere between $400 and $500, I'm like, well, okay. If you want to stay with Android...
Yeah, because you're still like $1,000 a year.
Yeah, like, okay. If Android is your software of choice, I get it. And it, objectively, everything, it's a better bundle than just getting a really kick-ass camera and then everything else sucks. But with OnePlus, it's like, I can see it. I don't think I would favor it, but I get it. When you start going now $600, $700, $800, it gets a little bit harder to try to justify it.
Right.
Every 6 months, I would want to hold on to something I spend that much for within about a year. The only reason why I don't do it with iPhones is because no other phone comes closer to a better resale value. I always get closer to the money back. So,
and you don't have that same option with the Android market.
And you don't, no. Oh my goodness, though. In three months, we'll start seeing, we'll see sales all over Amazon. That's when Nick and I started, you know, entertaining that idea because we saw sales. I wasn't going to pay full price for a 6T. No. And that's what will happen.
The other not so great part is that OnePlus is notoriously not so great with customer service, and I can already tell that from my confirmation emails, like how basic they are. They do not look official. They look like a PDF from 2006. Like, your order has shipped. Your order being the OnePlus 7 Pro Nebula Blue. There's like no picture. There's no officialness to it. Also, if you want to return a OnePlus phone, they will only refund you 85% of the value.
What?
Would it, if you do the math, that's an over $100 restock fee. And I'm talking like, return it day one. Like, you unbox the phone. Oh, shoot. I got fired. I don't have an income. I should return this. They're only going to give you like $600 for a $710 phone you purchased.
Wow.
So that's, in my history of reviewing phones, pretty unheard of.
Yeah.
It may be common in the smaller companies, but Google does have a restocking fee of $35, which is not fun, but it's $35, so it's not that bad. But Apple, Samsung, they both give full refunds, even after like 10 days of use. You know, like, if you bought a Galaxy S10 or a Galaxy Fold, and you see that crease, and you see that problem with it, you can contact them and be like, I'd like to return this. I'd like a refund. They will give you a 100% refund.
I'd like my phone, my screen to work.
Yeah. You can use it for a whole week and get a whole refund. Apple does the same thing. They have a two-week return policy for all the products. That goes from iMac Pro to AirPods. You can just bring it back and get a refund. I have never seen a company say that if you try to return it, we're only giving you 85% back. That is a huge hit on the consumer.
There's one thing I can think of. Cars. Every single car dealership, you know, aside from the lemon
lot, Tesla
off the lot. I know, yeah. So Tesla is the one company. I'm trying to bring it back to Tesla. Can you tell?
Thank you, Nick. No, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, so Tesla allows you to return a car within 1,000 miles or 1 week, whichever comes first. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So you know, OnePlus, if you had a bunch of money, you could just buy a Tesla every week. And
that's true. I doubt they let you do that, but yeah.
I don't think so. Probably not.
They probably keep your name on record if you return it within a week.
Well, that's okay. But you just buy it next time, Drew. Sure.
Yeah. The OnePlus company and brand is all about speed, and that includes the negatives. That includes the speed of devalue. That includes the speed of degradation. That includes the speed of buyer's remorse. Because if you look at all of the people commenting on like when the OnePlus 7 Pro came out, there were all these people that were like, I just bought a 6T. And a lot of those people weren't even buying it that far from the launch of the 6T. So it's not the same situation of like, okay, you bought an iPhone 10 and then a week later the 10S came out. You know, that sucks. And that's kind of on you because iPhones come out at the same time every single year. But like you said, Randy, when you do the 6 month cycle, it makes the consumer very confused when a good time to upgrade is. When is a good time to buy a OnePlus? Basically, the month it came out afterwards, stop. You know, but OnePlus does not want that phone back. Like, that, their customer service is known for being not so great, and the refund policy, I think, is trash. Of any smartphone I've ever reviewed, that's the worst I've ever seen. That, like, you can basically order the phone, not even open it, and lose $100.
Wow.
That's like Walmart. That's crazy. Doesn't even do that, you know? Like,
yeah.
No, Walmart's
generally, if you have the receipt within at least, like, I understand keeping the refund policy, like, maybe limited. Apple, Samsung, they do 2 weeks. Google does 2 weeks. Maybe you don't have a lot of money to spare, so maybe limit it to like 5 days. That's low. Like, we have a 5-day return policy, but just a flat out nope, any return, we only give 85% back. That's easily over $100. That is like a lot.
Yeah, it is. That's bad.
They should let you return it for like 2 months.
Well, the thing is, with warp charge, the battery degrades so quickly that it's not even worth that much by the time you unbox it. And Pixel is notoriously known for some of the quickest devalue, like I talked about in my Pixel 3a video. Hey, it's great. It starts at $400, but you can get a full price Pixel 3 now on Amazon used for, like, in new condition, refurbished, you can get that for like $450.
Yeah.
And the phone came out in October. This thing devalued over 50%, like, within a year, within 6 months. Like,
yeah.
Those Pixel phones drop quick.
It dropped over in 6 months, and in half a year, it lost more than half.
Right.
Its value.
Basically 10% a month. Mm. Whereas iPhones are setting records for holding their value, especially the iPhone 10. That broke the record for resale value of, like, a year after the phone came out, it still was at like 84%.
I think I told you this. I've mentioned it before. Mm-hmm. I sold my 10 8 months later, whenever after WWDC happened.
Yeah.
I bought it for $1,100. I sold it for over $920.
Dang. Mm. Dude.
The guy even was willing to come. He saved. He's like, let me save you the shipping cost. And he met me. He was like an hour north from here. And he drove down. He met me. We did the exchange. And I was like, that was the first time I ever sold a smartphone. And I was like, I will never not buy full price and then sell an iPhone, used. Because I did not know this. There is a huge underrated market out there for used iPhones that people will buy because they want
100%. Enormous.
They want it.
From experience of reviewing iPhones and testing out different ones, like, I don't know if you guys remember, but when the Product Red 8 Plus came out, I was like, oh, dude, that's great. I want to get it. I'll only keep it if we can sell the Space Gray 8 Plus I already had. Very first wireless charging phone, the very first phone I had with 4K at 60 and all that. Right. So I was like, okay, we're going to buy the 8 Plus. And we're going to put up the 8 Plus on Facebook to sell. And like 2 days later, boom, someone was like, can I do it? Can I get it? And I think we sold it for like $600.
That's crazy.
Or something like that. Yeah. And it was, what did we pay? Like $800 for it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was like, they hold their value. And that was, they came out in September, and then we sold it in March.
The specs, though!
The specs are amazing. That's why they sell great.
12 gigabytes of RAM.
I think that keeps a lot of people to iOS because knowing that, I mean, Randy's situation, I wonder how common that is. I feel like that was insanity that you could get much back.
We can figure that out. Everyone tweet us at TaylosofCast and leave us a review while
you're
at it.
That means for your whole experience of like a year of owning that phone or whatever, or however long you used it, it cost you like $200.
April, May, June.
He's counting.
I sold it in June or July, so I had it for 7 or 8 months. I just counted it. Because it shipped
and
in November,
it
right?
Cost
I got it in November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. I sold it either in June or July. It was after WWDC, so.
Which that money goes towards your next phone.
Which
makes it even cheaper.
I bought the next phone outright, and I still pocketed money, and then I actually then sold that phone and bought the 10R outright, but then I gave that phone to my brother. So really, last 2 years, I'm in the hole a grand because I bought the 10S.
Whereas if you were in the OnePlus market,
I would have been in the whole $1,400.
Right. Like, imagine what a used OnePlus 6T is worth now that the 7 Pro is out. I imagine it's dropped significantly, the amount people would be willing to pay. It's still a good phone, so I doubt it's dropped that much. But the Pixel line can speak volumes as someone who's... I've sold iPhones several times.
Yeah.
And I've also sold Android several times. I see the value shift. You know, it's very drastic. People did not... I was lucky to find a guy willing to spend $400 on that Pixel 3 I sold. It, like, people were messaging me, like, offering under $300. They were like, can you do $250? It's like, it's $900 new, dude. It came out, like, 4 months ago. He's like, $280? Well, I can't blame you for not wanting to pay much for this phone. I mean, I don't want it either. So.
I'm trying to get rid of it.
That, I mean, just still though, that should speak volumes to what you're getting yourself into when you buy these expensive smartphones these days. Is the resale value, as that's becoming incredibly common for people. So, yeah, the OnePlus is all about speed, and that comes with the pros and the cons.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I mean, lithium batteries, it's going to, it's not a secret that hurts the battery long term, and you want that fast charging, but I think people who want that only want it because they know they're not going to hold on to the phone that long. I don't know anybody I knew from the get-go very few people who had a OnePlus phone personally, and out of them, I don't know how many of them still have their OnePlus 5 or 5T for that matter. Like,
I can tell you, I never see them in public.
No. I was like, is that an iPhone 7? Oh, wait, no, it's a 5T.
Yeah. It's a Chinese knockoff.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember when they used to do, they were unapologetically just off Apple, and then they slowly started getting
the 5?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The 5? Oh, my goodness. I was so upset about that. I remember.
It had the same size.
It was like, oh, it's a really good phone. I'm like, it's a 7 Plus. What are you talking about?
It had the same size display. It had the same resolution. It had the same colors. It had the same camera placement. And it had the same pixel per inch. It had the same form factor. I think it was the same weight, too. It was so close. It was, like, embarrassing. I was like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Guys.
It was awful.
I will say I'm glad they change that. I'm glad they took it in a different direction.
Yeah.
I would be more annoyed if they were just making iPhone clones.
Because they quickly realized that if you're going to try to knock off an iPhone, look what happened with the 10 last year. It's just not going to happen.
No. Yeah.
You're going to do a terrible job. Deal. Find your own voice. I will always give kudos to Samsung for never conforming throughout that whole notch, the Vasco and stuff. Like they were like, no.
No, they have a hole punch now.
Now they got the hole punch. But all the same,
they
like,
sidestepped
you,
it.
You look at a Samsung and you know that's a Samsung phone. They're not trying to look like an iPhone. Yeah. And I will always applaud them for that. At least I believe them when they want to present their phone, with the exception of the Fold, but you know, because they're so adamant about wanting to be first. But I believe them when they're like, they want to have their own marketing. Like, this is what we got. Mm-hmm. I believe you. I believe you're not trying to just copy iPhones and stuff like that. At least not.
It's like, reminds me of a classroom with a bunch of different students. And it's like, okay, walk to the class and stay on the white line. Everyone just walk on the white line and follow it to the door. Samsung, like, didn't go on the white line. They, like, specifically walked right next to it.
Yeah.
Like, intentionally, like, not on accident. They, like, intentionally didn't walk on the white line, but they still went through the door. Yeah. So in that way, it was like, we're not going to do a notch. There's no notch on our phone. And then they do the camera hole, and they're like, see, it's not a notch. It's not a
notch. It's not a notch. look at all the fun wallpaper.
I will agree that they got a lot of good fun wallpapers out of that choice.
Yeah.
It made people very creative.
It did.
Jung-un.
But also, I will admit that, like, how asymmetrical it, I can't.
Just praised North Korea, by the way.
I did.
What?
Because I'm in this insane asylum.
He just said Kim Jong-un, it's the best.
No, oh, with the yes, this little
the binoculars.
Yeah. You just praised best Korea.
No, North Korea is
North Korea, best country, Korea.
So there you go.
And Samsung is from South Korea. So
there you go.
Oh, it, you jerk. I see it. I forget they're a South Korean company. Samsung, that's right. Or not Samsung, but South Korea is a very interesting. I wish I spent
they
more
have
time.
A lot more 5G.
Ooh.
We have some people in the Discord from South Korea, and they're like, we have 5G coverage here, here, and here. And I'm like, okay, well, you're not everyone.
Yeah, you guys are great.
When your country's tiny, it's easy to get 5G.
Yeah, well, your country's tiny, but also cool, but tiny, but cool. But you know what?
My country's better, gosh.
My county's bigger than your country.
South Koreans are Samsung loyalists, or maybe they have iPhones as well, because I know... iPhones are quite popular in Japan, and Korea's not that far away from Japan. And so,
I'm sure it's like here. It's probably pretty mixed. It's a pretty even split, I bet.
Yeah, Samsung definitely has a bigger mark over there, just because they're household appliances and stuff like that.
Yes,
and you know they're everywhere. Yeah. But people also acknowledge. I think it's becoming more accepted. Worldwide, it's all about the software. It's not the hardware anymore. It's about the software. Everyone's caught up to the iPhone, and then other Android manufacturers, LGs, and everything, they've all caught up to each other in hardware. Now it's just you're trying to find your own little gimmick, your own little stick that makes you stand out. But at this point, you're only embedded in whatever platform you're in because of the user experience that you're getting with it. And I think we all acknowledged that for the longest time, Android felt like it was just one big beta for years.
Yeah. Right.
Now it's catching up.
Still does sometimes.
they're not perfect, but that's...
No one is.
No one is, but...
I am.
You're perfect?
That's right. Yes. I forgot.
My Darth
How
Vader
could we forget?
How can we ever forget? Nick's so perfect that our podcast last week was so terrible we couldn't release it. Because we weren't on par.
It was so
with...
perfect. Yes, the perfection. You weren't on
par. We talked
Star
about
Wars.
So many things.
We did. You know what? We actually
like how
made a challenge.
My iPhone.
I want to make a challenge.
We all jailbreaked our iPhone.
What was the challenge?
Here was the challenge that Drew made that no one will ever get to hear except now, because now I'm going to re-bring it back. If you think, and this is a real challenge, if you think you can beat Drew in editing a video, a tech video, let him know. Send it out to him and let him see, because the only way Drew will ever hire another editor is if they're faster than him. And the whole premise of it is that Drew edits fast. Like
it's probably a record.
Best.
I blinked. I was like, "What? What is that?" And you know what's funny? I was thinking about it since we talked about it last week. The part that like really blows my mind is like the easy part of just editing you talking to the camera. That's the easy part. But the way you edit your B-roll so quickly, and the way you include your little links and the panning and all that, it makes me mad, because I'm like, I spent so much time, and when I did the Chick-fil-A video, I spent so much time working on my the skip part of it, not me talking to the camera, that the whole time I was editing, I was thinking, stupid Drew, he'd have this done by now. And I'm over here, like, just trying to find the right color grading, and you're just like, done, exporting. Well, the longest part of you editing is exporting the video.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's the only compelling argument to get a modular Mac Pro, is to speed up that exporting process. But the question is, like, how much does it speed it up? Is it worth $6,000 for that 20 seconds, you know?
No.
Probably not.
Maybe not.
So, but the Saturday short I edited today.
That was amazing. Did you edit that today?
Yeah.
Wow.
I loved it.
What did you think? It took 2 months?
Only because you were in it. Well, it did take 2 months.
It's okay. But I'd rather we space it out so that way I can get my, I got a green screen, ladies and gentlemen. So I figure if we want to keep doing more of those, I can definitely...
It'll be interesting to do them long distance. But I will say it was very difficult to edit. It was not your classic tech video.
I saw on Instagram. Go follow Talos at Talos of just Talos of.
Regular Talos of.
Yeah. Go follow that on Instagram. He has a little... I saw the timeline. I was like, ooh, that's very intricate.
It was complicated because, for those of you who don't know, over on the main channel, also known as Talosiv, that's it, there's a little skit we made called I'm an iPad Pro and I'm a Pixel Slate. It's a parody of the Mac versus PC ads Apple used to make. So this is still tech related, so we're allowed to talk about it. My shots, my takes and Randy's takes were shot out of order. We were not saying those words together. We got me on the green screen, and then we got Randy on the green screen. And we didn't have a script. We just had a general, because there wasn't a lot of time when you guys were visiting. So we just kind of had a general plot that we stuck to. And we strayed from the backbone of that plot so much. Randy went off on...
I was saying there was a director just having an aneurysm.
And, went off on this different direction. And trying to sync two big long takes that were not shot simultaneously was so difficult, but I did it in 40
It took
minutes.
Him 10 minutes. That's how hard it was, everyone.
40, not 10.
No, okay.
40 minutes to edit a one-minute skit.
Yes, but I will say
four
that
seconds, Randy. Okay.
It was a complicated skit. It was not as easy as other skits. It was not as easy as... with the pixelation and the audio editing and the
that was the
finding a way to like cut out the issue is like one person will talk, but you need the other person to be listening,
right?
But mm-hmm. Our footage was so drastically different, trying to find a long prolonged cut of Randy just listening and me just listening was very tricky, so I had to use some speed ramping tricks and slow down and speed up things.
I see. I'm looking at it right now. I took a screenshot of it. I see where you also added the crossfade transition, so that way it looked more fluid between the two.
It was a complicated short, but
which is why it took a while. But it's funny. People like it. I like it.
Yes, they got good response from it. So we filmed more of those, and there'll be more coming later. But that for me in editing, it's all about efficiency. You know, like. Does clicking these three buttons result in me getting to edit faster? Because I hate editing.
Yeah.
I hate editing so much. So I'm trying to get done with it as quick as I can while still retaining a somewhat decent video. And a lot of the time it's like I will need a picture for a cutaway shot, but I know that it'll be faster to Google that picture and download it than it will be to go back and find that picture.
Yeah.
So like a lot of the time I'll be like, I've downloaded that picture, but I'm going to just go Google it and download it a second time because I don't have the time to go to downloads and just scroll. Is that it? Is that it? There it is. So it's not efficient on storage space, but in regards to getting the video done as quick as possible. Yeah. Those kind of choices have to be made. Like, is it faster to screenshot this or is it faster to find a downloaded image that someone's already posted? So yeah, I would love to see someone who could edit faster, but I don't know if that exists.
No, that's why it's a silly challenge. And now that I brought it up again, it's a silly challenge. But now that I brought it up again, something's gonna happen with this episode, and we're not gonna be able to post it either.
What do you mean? My audio is just fine. Oh, yeah, Drew, this is...
Did you hear the audio, Drew?
Oh, my God.
I did not.
Oh, my... I'm going to send you a clip.
Think Nick, in the past, has apologized for audio when it really wasn't that bad. So I bet you that it probably wasn't that bad.
I got a FaceTime call from Randy at, like, 11 p.m. I was driving, and he was like, dude...
And you answered it?
To your audio? Yes, of course.
That's not safe.
Yes, that's our focus with this story.
You need a Tesla, Nick. You should.
Moving
have
on.
Have you heard of Tesla? You should buy. Well,
really,
they have
I've
this Model Y.
Tesla.
It's kind of ugly, but
let me.
You could
let
get
me
a Model
a pen
Y
and paper and write down what you're talking about. What is this car company? Tesla. So yeah, Tesla. Randy called me up and he was like, "Dude, did you listen to your audio?" And like he was visibly frustrated. And I was just like, "Oh." Crap, what does it sound like?
I told him, listen to it
and like
call me back.
Darth Vader.
Sounds just, more like Yoda.
I was listening to it. It's like Yoda. He goes,
yeah, Drew, I think it was really, really.
I'm listening to, I'm like, what? And so I tried pitch correcting it, because there's a technique to to make something higher or lower. But he's like, "So yeah, Drew, I think that we were," and it just sounded like a weird, distorted Nick in a way that's like, it's, I don't know. So when I try to bounce it to see, people like Drew and myself will probably be more in like the C2, which sounds like, and then you got Nick who sounds like. And
aw, thanks.
And when Nick was talking, Nick was like, and so when I pitched it up, it didn't sound like that. It sounded like, and like, it didn't sound like Nick.
You couldn't get it right.
So I was like, all right, this audio screwed up.
I hope you keep the Mac Mini, Nick.
Yes.
He was talking about how he didn't like it. He was like, I don't want it. I don't want to keep it.
I've already returned the Mac Mini. I don't have the Mac Mini anymore. I'm using my another first computer right now.
Well, that's nice.
Well, that's cool. Good. But you should have kept the Mac
Mini. I'll just have to come up to Chico next time we want to do a podcast.
Yeah, that sounds cheap.
Just rent a Tesla. And
there you go.
Rent a Tesla. There you go. No problem at all. Let's make sure to take pictures of it before and after.
Well, do you guys have any hopes for a Worldwide Developers Conference that you want to put on the record? Because we only got a couple more weeks.
On the record, I would say I would like...
it's
want all
2 weeks
rumors
from Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow,
I'm so excited. I want all the rumors to be true.
You sound so excited, Randy.
I'm
so
excited.
Oh my goodness.
If iMessage is becoming slowly like another social platform in the way that like you can update your profile photo from your end and it gets pushed out.
That would be really nice.
That's really cool. I never thought about that. I like that. Little things. I like the little upgrades that they're hinting at. Definitely. I just want my Apple credit card, really.
Yeah. Have you seen, like, Ben Geskin tweeted out a picture of someone getting their card with the flipping. Oh, it looks so good.
I want that thing so bad. Yeah,
me too. It's hidden. The setup for Apple Card is within iOS 12.4 betas.
Yeah,
so most people are assuming 12.4 is going to drop like right when the event happens, and then you'll be able to sign up that way. But I don't know, will I go to 12.4 or will I go to the iOS 13 beta first?
Go to 12.4 first, get your card, and then upgrade.
Probably
that's
a better
idea.
Need
more than one iPhone.
I do actually have more than one, but maybe that's an idea. I'll put the 8 Plus on iOS 13.
There you go.
Which I have at my desk at all times.
If
it gets iOS 13.
we know everything about what the, or I should say that we have a strong idea of what iOS 13 is going to have with these little updates here and there. But what we don't know is wallpapers, which is always exciting to me, and and if they're actually doing any slight physical changes to show a redesign. I think we'll still stick with the flat layout a little more, but I feel like I don't think we'll ever see another iOS 6 to iOS 7 update like that, because it was so drastic. But
it won't be that drastic.
But this will be the biggest update since iOS 7. And I'm excited for all just the little things, because I was so excited about iOS 7. I think I've said it before, or I said it last week on the episode that will never air. I was this close.
Gosh, rub it in one more time.
One more time. I'm trying to get my shots in at the end of the show now. I was this close, not even an inch away from leaving iOS back then, because I was getting kind of frustrated with the user interface. And then iOS 7 came around and fixed all of that for me. And
Good.
I feel like I'm going to be that kind of giddy again. So not one specific thing I'm excited for. I want all the rumors to be true. Everything that like iUpdate has been talking about, what you've covered, I want it all to be
true. It sounds amazing. If Gurman's correct, which he often is, it should be pretty big. There sounds like there's going to be a lot of redesigns. And I just solved my problem. Excuse me. When you're an adult, you'll start to talk through your burps. It's like when you're young, that's, it's like, whoa. But when you're all mature
old
and stuff,
man,
you're just like, I'll get 12.4 on my phone, get the Apple Card, and then iOS 13 will go on the iPad, because iOS 13's bigger for the iPad anyway.
There you go.
So problem solved. But I'm excited. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
On my 13-inch iPad. I can't wait to folks, put it on.
We need to wrap this up.
Any closing thoughts?
Yes. So I'm sorry. I did mention, need to mention, iMessage needs to get fixed in a big bad way. It's 2019, and when we send a picture, it still gets stuck sometimes. Like, come on, guys. You ever like send a picture and it just gets stuck on the little sending thing, and it gets stuck, and you wait.
Oh, that's your LTE, Nick. I've never had that problem.
Face. Okay. We're done. Thank you very much, everyone. You have a wonderful day. Catch y'all next week.
That's your internet. I'm telling you.
Okay.
How about you, Randy? Closing thoughts? Air Power's dead. The Pixel sucks. Bye, everyone.
I did that in the beginning of the show. So, no, I think I'm good this
time.
Do
need to ask people to rate and
give us a rate.
Click the write a review.
Write a review.
It's helping us out.
I was going to smash that like
button.
Keep doing it.
Smash that write a review button and smash the fifth star.
Smash that. And then let us know in the review comments why you're giving it 5 stars. And if you say because you told me to, then I will accept it.
I will nod silently.
I will go, uh-huh.
Bye, everyone. Have a good week. See you soon.
Bye.